Good morning and welcome. I invite you to mute as we sing together our opening hymn number 440, Blessed Jesus at Thy Word. Continue on page 80 of the Book of Common Prayer or on your handout. Lord, open our lips.
And our mouth shall proclaim your praise.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We'll say together the Jubilate found on page 82 or in your handout. Be joyful in the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with a song. Know this, that the Lord himself is God. He himself has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and call on his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his faithfulness endures from age to age.
We will say Psalm 139 responsively, found in your handout or on the Book of Common Prayer, page 3794. Lord, you have searched me out and known me.
You know my sitting down and my rising. You discern my thoughts from afar.
You trace my journeys and my resting places.
And are acquainted with all my ways.
Indeed, there is not a word on my lips.
But you, O Lord, know it all together.
You press upon me behind and before.
And lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me.
It is so high that I cannot attain to it.
For you yourself created my inmost parts.
You knit me together in my mother's womb.
I will thank you because I am marvelously made.
Your works are wonderful, and I know it well.
My body was not hidden from you. Your eyes beheld my limbs, yet unfinished in the womb, all of them were written in your book.
They were fashioned day by day, one as yet there was none of them.
How deep I find your thoughts, O God.
How great is the sum of them.
If I were to count them, they would be more in number than the sand.
To count them all, my lifespan would be like yours.
A reading from the first book of Samuel 3. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here am I," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time. And he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We will say together Canticle 21, "You Are God," found on page 95 in the Book of Common Prayer or on your handout. You are God, we praise you. You are the Lord, we acclaim you. You are the eternal Father, all creation worships you. To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, cherubim and seraphim, sing and endless praise. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might,
heaven and earth are full of your glory.
The glorious company of the praise you, the noble fellowship of praise you.
The white robe army of martyrs praise you. Throughout the world, the holy church proclaims you.
Father, Majesty, unbounded, true, and only Son, worthy of all worship, and the Holy Spirit, advocate, and God. You, Christ, are the King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father. When you became man, you did not shun the virgin's womb. You overcame the death of death and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You are seated at God's right hand in glory.
We believe that you will come and be our judge.
Come then, Lord, help your people, bought for the price of your own blood, and bring us with your saints to glory and everlasting.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is meant not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, the two shall be one flesh. But anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please mute as we sing together our sequence hymn number 532, How Wondrous and Great Thy Works.
St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets spoke. Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come from out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said to him, here is truly an Israelite in whom there is none to see. Nathanael asked him, where did you get to know me? Jesus answered, I saw you under the fig tree where Philip called you. Nathanael replied, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Kings, King of Israel. Jesus answered, do you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. He said to him, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It's most often that we ask kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? Or we ask people who are in college, what are you studying right now? And I think about Stella when she was five, she wanted to be a pirate. She wore her pirate costume day after day after day after day. But now that she's 12 and almost grown up, she wants to write graphic novels or create graphic novels. Ben, when he was five, wanted to be a baseball star. Now that he's 14, he can't decide if he wants to be a lawyer or a doctor. Did you know that the average American holds 12 jobs in their lifetime? Now that includes the jobs that you had as a teen or when you're in college, but 12 jobs in a lifetime. And they say nowadays, people, young people who are coming up now will have between 3 and 7 careers in their life. That's totally different occupations because the world is changing so quickly. And the idea that you would have 3 to 7 different occupations in your life, just baffling to me. But what I know is as we get older, we spend time reflecting on our lives. We have hopes and dreams still, visions still, desires still. And we think back on our life of those missed opportunities or the fulfillment of a career well done. Or we think about those things that we could have done or should have done or wanted to do. And we also, as we reflect, think about what is it we still want to do? What do I still have time for? Maybe teaching a child to learn to read or playing an instrument or learning to birdwatch. But that desire is always in us to be doing something and to hear that call of what it is we were meant to do. I think it's normal to reflect on what we've done and haven't done and where we are in life and what we're meant to do next and reflect on the choices that we've made in our life. And we go back today and listen to Psalm 139. We read a portion of Psalm 139, and it tells us some important things about ourselves and about God. But to me, Psalm 139 is a different kind of creation story. It's not the creation of the whole universe, but it's the creation of us. And it starts out and it says, God, you searched me out and you know me. God, you know me. You know my thoughts from afar. You know me. You know my good, my bad, my challenges, my successes, my thoughts, my deeds. You know it all and you still love me. And then we go to the idea that no matter where I hide from you, you are there. The idea of Sheol, that the pit, the grave, the place where God is not. If I go down to the pit, you are there also. If I go up to heaven, you are there also. I can't hide from you, God, because you are there. And then we continue with, we are marvelously made. You knit us together in our mother's womb. And that image of it says God wove us, the weaving of the muscles and the bones and the skin and the vessels, God weaving us together. And then it continues that God has a plan for us, a plan for each and every one of us. And yes, God gave us free will, so we can mess with that plan. And sometimes we make choices that we know are not consistent with the plan. But we also know that God has another plan for us, that God can take those lemons and make lemonade, that at any time in our life, we can change direction. And God, even when the door is closed, can open another door. It's that idea that God knows every part of us, created us, will be with us, knows our past, knows our present, and has a plan for our future. And rather than shying away from that to embrace that and say, if God knows the very worst of me and still loves me, then maybe he is with me. Maybe I can turn to him and rely on him. Today we hear the beginning of Samuel's life. And if you remember, Samuel's mom is Hannah, and Hannah was barren. And every year when they would go to Jerusalem for the festival, she would go into the temple and pray, and she'd sit in the back and she would just rock and pray with all of her being. And the priest saw her one day and went up to her and said, woman, you're drunk, leave, you're an embarrassment. And she said, I'm not drunk. I want a child. And the priest said to her, you will have a child. And she said, great. Then when that child is 3 years old, I'll dedicate that child to God. And she dropped that child off at the temple. And that child was under the care of Eli, the priest. So from the time he was 3 on, he lived there, he worked there. That was who he was. They think when this story happened, he was about 11 years old. But they were also saying that it was really dark times for the people of Israel. The people of Israel had strayed and needed something. And it starts out what we heard today, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. The people had forgotten about God, had turned from God. And yet it continues, at that time, Eli, the priest, whose sight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And then we hear this story. Samuel's fallen asleep and he hears somebody calling out his name, Samuel, Samuel. And he says, here I am, here I am. And he runs to Eli, the old priest. And he says, here I am, what do you need? And Eli says, I didn't call you, go back to sleep. So Samuel goes back near the ark of the Lord, goes back to sleep. A second time he hears someone calling, Samuel, Samuel, and he gets up and he says, here I am, and he runs to Eli a second time. And Eli says, I didn't call you, go back to sleep. Same thing happens the third time. And it says God was standing with him, standing there, Samuel, Samuel. And the third time Eli says, ah, that's the Lord calling you. The next time you hear him call, answer him and say, answer me, or here I am, Lord, your servant. And that is what Samuel does. Samuel becomes one of the greatest Old Testament figures. He was a seer. He was a priest. He was a prophet. He was a judge. He was a military leader. If you had asked him at 5 years old, what was he going to be when he grew up? He probably thought he was going to be working in the temple, cooking and cleaning, caring for the old priests. But he becomes one of the greatest figures because he listened to God and he followed God's word. Now, I know at times I wish I heard God that clearly. God, if you only told me exactly clearly what to do, I would do it. But we know when God is calling us. We know when we are straying from the path. And sometimes the decisions are very difficult to make. And so we would like a little bit more direction. But for most of our lives, it's pretty clear. Those times that you wake up at 2 a.m. and you don't know why, but you're wide awake. And rather than saying, here I am, Lord, speak to me, we start our to-do list or we start worrying. We fill our heads with other thoughts. Or the same at 2 p.m. when we take a break and we start daydreaming. Rather than sitting quietly and saying, here I am, Lord, speak to me. But the same kind of call story is happening today in the gospel. And we hear the call story from John, not from Mark, which is the gospel of this year, the synoptic gospel. So John tells it a little bit differently. And he says that Jesus decided to go to the region of Galilee. And he calls Philip and says to Philip, follow me. And Philip follows him. And Philip not only follows him, but he goes to his friend Nathanael. And he said, I found him. I found him. And it's Jesus Christ from Nazareth, son of Joseph. And Nathanael instantly judges and says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip says, come and see. And when Nathanael gets in sight of Jesus, Jesus calls out to him and says, ah, there's a righteous man. And Nathanael's like, how do you know me? Because he does not yet know that God created him, knows him, searches for him, has written the story of him. And Jesus says, if you think that's something, just wait, because you're going to see God's angels ascending and descending from heaven. But it's when Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth, that always catches me. And I wonder, why is it that humanity so quickly judges other human beings? We have these judgments against, can anything good come out of that neighborhood or that language or that country or that person or that family name? And what's more, we do it to ourselves. Can anything good come out of me? Am I worthy of serving God? Am I worthy of being one of his servants, called to do his work? But if we look at who Jesus called, did he call the wealthy? Did he call the lawyers and doctors? Did he call the Pharisees and Sadducees? Did he say, I want your wealthy people? I want the leaders, the rulers. And as I was pondering that this week, I kept thinking of the poem that Emily Lazarus, that was published on November 2nd, 1883. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be breathed free, the wretched refuge of your teeming shore. Send these homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Jesus called the poor, the sick, the tax collectors, the sinners, the outcasts, the women, the children, the Gentiles. He called the outcasts, and he calls us. I have a question that I want you to ponder this week. When somebody asks, what do you want to be when you grow up? Can you imagine saying, a follower of Jesus Christ? That's what I want to be when I grow up, a follower of Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? God only knows, but we'll learn about that throughout this year. But when we're pondering what God wants for us, could we say a follower of Jesus Christ? Because in this season of Epiphany, Christ is the light. Christ is the one shining the light next to that golden door, bringing the kingdom of heaven here to earth, teaching us, calling us, leading us, saying, come and see, follow me, and I will be with you. Amen. I invite us into a minute of silence. Let us affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed found on page 96 in the Book of Common Prayer or on your handout. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
We will say the prayers in your handout or in the Book of Common Prayer, page 97. The Lord be with you.
And also,
with you.
Let us pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
Clothe your ministers with righteousness.
Let your people sing with joy.
Give peace, O Lord, in all the world.
For only in you can we live in safety.
Lord, keep this nation under your care.
And guide us in the way of justice and truth.
Let your way be known upon the earth.
Your saving health among all nations.
Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten.
Nor the hope of the poor be taken away.
Create in us clean hearts, O God.
And sustain us with your Holy Spirit.
Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshiped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O God, you make us glad with the weekly remembrance of the glorious resurrection of your Son, our Lord. Give us this day such blessing through our worship with you, that the week to come may be spent in your favor. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth, and sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold, pour out your Spirit upon all flesh, and hasten the coming of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
I invite you to mute as we sing together our anthem, Will You Come and Follow Me?
We
prayers of the people is form 6 on your handout or in the Book of Common Prayer, page 392. In peace, we pray to you, Lord God. For all people in their daily life and work.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone.
For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all justice, freedom, and peace.
For the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
For our presiding bishop, our bishop, for Lynn and Gary, and all other bishops and ministers.
For all who serve God and his church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation. We pray for Dick, Amanda and Billy, Bob R., Carol, Bonnie, Carson, Steve, Ann, Laura, Ashlyn, Betty, Bob, Jerry, Julie and Ben, Cheryl, Jean, Nicole, Brian, Cheryl, Eliza, Jane and family, Douglas, Richard, Kathy, Lindsay, Tammy S., John, Muriel, Heather, Andy, Jim and Marietta, Pam, Alan, Colleen, Steve, the food pantry, students and teachers, first responders, those suffering from addiction, those in the military, and those who mourn.
For Nick.
Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life.
The community of St. James.
And all those who serve in hospitals.
For my beautiful grandchildren.
For Katie, the Watson family, and Kayla.
We will exalt you, O God our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom.
For my beloved brother, Jim.
For Daryl Toombs, and for all who mourn.
Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
Who put their trust in you.
O Lord, our God, accept the fervent prayers of your people. In the multitude of your mercies, look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of souls, and to you we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I invite you to join me in the general thanksgiving found in the Book of Common Prayer on page 101 or in your handout. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life. but above all, for your immeasurable love and the redemption of the world,
Lord Jesus Christ,
for the means of grace,
for the hope of glory.
And we pray,
give us such an awareness of your mercy,
that with truly thankful hearts we may show forth your praise,
not only with our lips, but in our lives,
by giving up ourselves to your service,
and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days.
Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit,
be honor and glory throughout all ages.
Amen. Please mute as we sing together our closing hymn number 535, Ye Servants of God. Blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.
Thanks be to God.